We are wrapping up our series called Prepare to Launch. If you haven't been tuning in, we've talked about how as we get ready to come back this fall, there is a whole bunch of work to be done. There is spiritual work to be done. That's why we called 3 weeks of prayer and fasting. There is things that we needed to pray for. We needed God to move in miraculous and powerful ways. And he did. He opened doors wider than they've been in a long time. And we thank God for that. We praise him for that. But there's still more spiritual work to be done. There's still more healing that needs to happen in our land. There's still more that we need to see God move. And so we continue to pray and we continue to fast. There is work to be done here at the church. We said right off the bat that if we are going to accomplish the big things that God has called us to, it's going to take 100% of us doing 100% of the work, not this 20-80, 20% doing 80% of the work of the giving, of the serving. It's going to take all of us doing our part. And it doesn't matter if our part is big or small or outside of the box, our part is important. It requires the whole body to get involved and to do what God has called us to do as a church, as individuals, so we can have the impact on our families, on our communities, on our country. God doesn't call us to small vision. He calls us to have a big vision, province impacting vision, nation impacting, world impacting vision. But if we're going to have big vision, it's going to require a big team. It's going to require all of us to get it done. And as we wrap up, to start off, to kind of get us thinking about where I want to go this morning, I want you to think about something. The word that comes to mind is something that you're passionate about. And I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about, like, goofy things. Like, some people are really passionate and loyal to the kind of phone that they use, or the kind of pop that they drink, or the kind of clothes they wear. They only shop at certain spots, or they only drive certain cars, and they swear off all other vehicles that aren't that brand of car. Some of us will only watch certain leagues of a particular sport. We'll only cheer for certain teams. We as people can be ferociously loyal and passionate about all these different things. And if anyone challenges it, if anyone likes something that is contrary to what we like, we get pretty, like, animated and worked up about it. We can wreck someone's day by liking the wrong thing. And we all know this is true. Sometimes it's really goofy, but this is the fact. And so to kick us off, to get us thinking about this, I'm going to use the word brand. So our first question this morning, what brands are you loyal to, and why are you loyal to those brands? If you're new, we invite you to comment in the Facebook or on YouTube. Share with us what brands you are loyal to. Tell us what you get fired up about. And so a few examples that I have while you're writing. I grew up on Pepsi. The red stuff, the stuff that comes in the red can, that didn't come into our house. We didn't drink that stuff. That stuff was for other people. We drank Pepsi. Pepsi was the only brand allowed. Of course, growing up in Saskatchewan, I bleed green, and I know most of you are with me on that. Rider pride all the way. Some of you will only watch CFL. Like, we don't even know what the other football league is, and that's fine. That's cool. But we are ferocious Rider fans. At one church, Darren and I frequently talk about Mac versus Samsung. And I'm not going to get too much into that because he's by a computer and he could say things and I can't stop him this morning. But it's all in fun. But we get into it. We flex our muscles when each one has a win. In fact, I remember I had an intern at one of my previous churches. He was such a Mac fan that if I just wanted to just throw him right for a loop, I would tell him why another company was better, and for the rest of the day, he was trying to prove me wrong. Like, that would just, to talk about Mac that way would just wreck his day. I know that doesn't make me a very good person that I would do that on purpose, but I would. It was fun. We would all have a good laugh about it. But we get worked up about this stuff. We only drive certain vehicles. And the reason I wanted to go here is that in recent years, there's been this really interesting development of a position called a brand ambassador. So brands, companies, tech companies, clothing companies, they will actually hire you to wear their clothes, to use their stuff, to drive their cars, and you now act as an ambassador for their stuff. Sports companies have been doing this for years. Guys will get millions and millions of dollars of endorsements to drink Powerade on TV, or drink Gatorade, or eat a Snickers, or I'm dropping lots of brands today. None of them are sponsors, obviously. But like sports guys get this, and now it's moved into just the general public, because one of the most powerful ways to spread the word and to get people on board with what you got is word of mouth. It doesn't matter how much Facebook advertising you do. It doesn't matter how much Google advertising or how many newspapers you have. None of that matters. The only really powerful thing that we can do to get the word out is word of mouth. Me telling you that this is awesome. This is something that has helped me. And so I think it's going to help you. You can be a brand ambassador. And one of the catch-22s about being a brand ambassador is that, and I'll use sports as the example, it doesn't just matter what your stats are on a given season. It doesn't matter how many goals you score. It doesn't matter how many assists you get. It doesn't matter how many penalties you take. It doesn't matter how many holes in one you get. Because on top of being a good athlete, you have to be a good person. And so if you have a flaw in character, or you have a bad tweet get out, or you have a video come out that you rather wouldn't come out, now it's not only embarrassing that this stuff comes out, it could cost you millions of dollars, because you are now signing not just a performance-based contract like you would with your team, but you are signing a contract that says, I am going to be an upstanding person as long as I'm under this contract. Why? Because if so-and-so is signed under a certain name brand, and that person does something outrageous, it doesn't just reflect bad on them, it reflects bad on the brand. The brand is now affected, because the brand wants to be associated with people of good influence, of positive people. And so if you interfere with that, if your character paints a bad picture on the brand, then the brand just cuts ties with you. It's not just about performance, it's about character, it's about conduct. And one of the interesting things is that Paul actually uses this word ambassador when it comes to our relationship with Christ and our interaction as disciples of Christ in the world. So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians 5. If you got your Bible, I'll give you a minute to turn there. If not, it's going to be up on the screen for you. But just a little background. We're actually not sure which letter this is that Paul has written to the Corinthians. We've come to discover that he's actually written about three or four, but we only have the two in the scripture. That's why it's called 1st and 2nd. It's not necessarily the 1st and the 2nd. But this is the second letter, and Paul has now, the first one was pretty strict. He was kind of rebuking the church for some of the mistakes they were making. And this letter comes in behind and says, you know what? I've heard that you guys are doing better. I've heard that you guys are on the road to representing Christ well. And this is why. This is why we need you to be good ambassadors. So 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 16. From now on, then, we do not know anyone from a worldly perspective. Even if we have known Christ from a worldly perspective, yet now we no longer know him this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, I want you to hold on to that word, reconciliation, because we're going to come back to that a lot this morning. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So what is Paul saying? I just want to unpack this a little bit. Paul is saying that because you have surrendered your life to Christ, you are now a disciple of him. Everything should change in your life. Jesus, God himself, humbly comes, becomes a man, born of a virgin, lives a perfect, sinless life, sets the example of what we can be when we surrender to God, dies on a cross, the most brutal form of death that we have ever seen throughout the course of human history. He who had not known sin became sin for each of us so that we could be forgiven, so that our sin debt could be paid for, so that we could come into relationship with God. That's what reconciliation is. To be reconciled to God is to come into a new relationship, a good relationship, a healthy relationship, because sin wrecks the relationship. Sin gets between us and God and separates us, because sin is rebellion against him who loves us unconditionally. And God sends Jesus so that we can be forgiven, we can repent, we can change. And that forgiveness and that new life is so radical. That relationship makes such a huge impact on us that we are now brand new. We are a new creation. All the old stuff, our old words that we used, the old jokes that we told, the old way of interacting with people and jobs and money, that's all gone. The dead ways are gone. You are a new creation in Christ, and you are so new, Paul says, you have a new perspective. You don't see things from a worldly perspective. You don't even see Christ from a worldly perspective. You see things from God's perspective, because when you are reconciled and you become a disciple, God puts his Holy Spirit in you as the seal of your salvation. And you see things from God's perspective. You see people as having the image of God on them. You see money as a gift from God, and you want to use it in a way that honors the one who gave it to you. Reconciliation changes everything. And so Paul says, now you are an ambassador. You carry the brand, if you will, of Christ everywhere you go. In the Old Testament, they didn't use the word ambassador. They used the word messenger or delegate, representative, ambassador. And you don't just go. It's more than just living. It's more than just representing God, but you actually have a message to share. And what is the message that God has put on us to share with the world, with our family, with our friends? Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. Come into this good relationship that God has called you to. Which brings me to my second question, and I warn you, this is hard-hitting. This one's going to hit a little close to home. Ah! There we go. Clicker. New clicker. Question two. What kind of an ambassador have you been for Christ? And I ask you this question not to shame or guilt. Shame and guilt are the tools of the enemy to cut us down and to make us feel like we are nothing more than a bunch of screw-ups. That is not why I ask you this question. The reason I ask you this question is because we have to ask ourselves hard questions to grow. We have to be aware of where we are weak, where we are dropping the ball, where are areas that we need to grow, because if we're not aware of the areas we need to grow, we never will grow. And so life is about asking those hard questions. How am I doing as a dad? How am I doing as a husband? How am I doing as an ambassador for Christ? Where are the areas of my life that I can get better? Because the reality is as soon as you become a Christian, I keep saying that, and I really don't like that. I rather we think of ourselves as disciples of Christ. As soon as you become a disciple of Christ and you make that known, everyone starts watching. Why? Because they want to know, okay, this person is now a disciple. What does that mean for their life? How is it going to change? Is it going to make it better? Is it going to make it worse? Is it not going to have any effect at all? We now represent Christ. Everyone is watching. And so are you a part-time Christian? Well, I'm a Christian on Sunday, or I'm a Christian when I'm on stage, or I'm a Christian when I have to be and it's convenient for me. What kind of a message does that send to everyone who's watching? What kind of a message does that send to your friends or your family if you're only a part-time Christian? Or are you the kind of disciple who only believes the parts of the Bible that you agree with? Ooh, I don't like that, so I don't believe that. So now the Bible isn't even the full truth. It's just the part that you can pick and choose. And I like this. I don't like this. I'm going to believe this. I'm going to reject this. And the question is it really having an impact on your life? Is Christianity really doing what God intended it to do when we're only doing it part of the time? We're only believing part of the stuff that God has given to us. How we live, how we spend our time, what we're posting on social media, what we talk about. These are all reflections of not only us, but who we represent. It is a reflection of Christ in us. It is the message that we are sharing with the world. We are the ones who are telling everybody whether or not following Christ is worth it, and whether we're talking about it or not, our actions are speaking louder than our words. And if you're sitting there like, well, I'm trying, I'm not perfect, that's okay. No, I'm not saying you have to be a perfect ambassador, because guess what? No one's perfect. Jesus was the only person who was the perfect ambassador. He was the only one who got it right all the time. There's a reason Scripture tells us that God's mercies are new every morning. You know why? I don't know about you, but me, I mess up enough on a daily basis that if God's mercies are not new every morning, I'm in trouble. But God hits the reset button every morning, and I got a whole brand new bunch of mercy and forgiveness waiting for me for every time I drop the ball. We're not calling you to be perfect ambassadors, but what we are saying is as ambassadors, there's two things that we need to be doing as disciples. And number one is never settle. Never settle in working out your salvation. Paul says that you should work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And what is that? How do we interpret fear and trembling? Well, here's how I see it. Every Sunday, I stand up here preaching God's word to you who are listening, and I represent God, I represent his word, but no, more importantly, I represent everyone who calls One Church their home. And so I get nervous. If I didn't get nervous, that'd be a bad sign, because it means that I've forgotten the weight and the gravity of all that God has called me to. And so I get nervous. I tremble sometimes because I want to do it well. I want to be the best I can be. I want to see lives changed for eternity. And so I get nervous. And I want people to love God. I want people to love Jesus because of what I do and how I say it. And that should be the desire of all of us, that every moment of every day we're doing our absolute best, that people see all that God has for them. It should make us nervous. It should feel like work sometimes. Every good relationship feels like work. Every good relationship requires effort and intentionality, and so does your relationship with God. We never settle for where we're at because there's always more to be had. Never settle. And number two, and this is probably more important than not settling, we need God's Holy Spirit. There's a reason that when we commit ourselves to be disciples of Jesus, that the first thing God does is he seals us with his Holy Spirit. He puts all of himself, all of his wisdom, all of his power, all of his miracle-working ability into us. Why? Because we need it if we're going to represent Christ well. And what does it mean to have the Holy Spirit's help? Every time you go to have a coffee, or every time you go to have a conversation, or anything, it's stop, take a breath. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, give me the words to say. Holy Spirit, give me the strength to do what I'm about to do to the best of my ability to honor you. Holy Spirit, help me. It's not a bad thing when we have all of the power that spoke the universe into creation inside of us. We should be taking that moment to just be like, Holy Spirit, help me. Whether it's talking to somebody face to face, or it's writing a post on our social media, or it's going to do our day-to-day work, whatever it is, we can always be doing it better because we've got the Spirit of God resting in us, giving us that extra little help. We represent well, and like I said, not only as ambassadors do we represent God well, but we have a message to share. Be reconciled to God. This brings me to my third question. Do you believe that following Jesus can or has made your life better? So I'm asking, if you're still trying to weigh out whether or not you want to commit your life to Christ, or you've been a longtime Christian, do you believe that this new life that we're talking about, that we all believe in, has made or can make your life better? And I want to go back to this idea of the brand ambassador. See, if I was to be a brand ambassador, I'd actually want to endorse a brand that actually made my life better. So like, I could be a brand ambassador for my phone because it has features and abilities that help me be organized, help me get my job done. It has the Bible. I love my phone. So I could endorse my phone really well. I love the new speakers we have at the church. They're really loud and they're really clear and they have amazing sound. And so I can endorse them because I've never seen anything so good. And when it comes to our relationship with God, do we believe that our life is better because Christ has become a part of it? And the truth is that we all go through seasons where we're kind of like, I don't know. Because when we become believers in Jesus, it doesn't mean that God snaps his fingers and we never have any struggles ever again. No, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that he uses our struggles to develop our character, to develop our endurance, to help us grow in wisdom. The struggles don't go away, but God can use the struggles to make us better, to make us stronger. But it doesn't necessarily make the struggle easier. And so we go through these seasons where maybe the relationship is a little dry, and maybe we haven't read our Bible in a while, or we haven't prayed in a while. And we start to lose sight of the blessing that being a disciple of Christ really is. And when we lose sight of it, then it gets really tough to talk about it and endorse it. And we get to the spot where if someone actually does ask us, what is it like to be a disciple of Christ? We do the right thing and we say that it's helped us, and we believe that everyone should. But we do it out of this place because we know we're supposed to say that, because that's what God tells us to say. Not we're saying it because of that's what my experience is right now in this moment. And if you're listening right now and you find yourself in this spot where you're like, I don't really see the blessing. I don't really see how my relationship with Christ has actually made life better. I want to encourage you with this. Like I just said, your struggle has the ability to make your faith and your character stronger than it ever has been. Your ability to push through these dry seasons, your ability to push through when things seem distant, to put in the effort to make it close again, to make it vibrant, to make it evident, actually has the ability to take you deeper than you've ever gone before and to experience new levels of faith and relationship and blessing than you've ever experienced before. These dry seasons aren't, they feel bad and they feel like they, like maybe you made a mistake, but that's not the case. Those dry seasons are designed to make you stronger, to help you push deeper, to experience God more. If you find, if you're asking yourself that question, and I'll put it back up, do I believe that following Jesus has made my life better? If you're struggling with that, I encourage you to not give up, because God hasn't given up on you. God has big plans in store for you, and all it takes is for us to be like, okay, God, I'm going to give it the extra little oomph. I'm going to put in the extra effort. And as we draw near and we surrender more, whatever it is we've got to do, we start to see the depth and the blessing and the strength and the confidence. And suddenly people ask, and you're like, you know what, God? God does make life better because of this and this and this. And that's just been today. That was the last 30 seconds God did all that for me. It was awesome. But it takes us doing our part to get there. And here's why I wanted to finish with this idea of being an ambassador. Because we're not just ambassadors for Christ. We're ambassadors for his body, the church. And that means for one church. And as we prepare to launch, as we get ready to have on-site worship gatherings, and as we prepare to step into these new opportunities and these new normals that God has in store for us, we need to get the word out. We need to be telling people. We need to be inviting people. We need to be like, one church has made my life better for this and this and this. We need to be telling people the mission and the vision. What is our mission? What is our vision? Our mission at One Church is to equip people to live an effective life with a bold faith. Let me say that again. Our mission at One Church is to equip people to live life effectively with bold faith. And so we make decisions based on that, creating opportunities for us to be effective in all that God has called us to and do it boldly in the faith that God has placed in us. And so here's my invitation to you. If you're asking, has One Church actually made my life better? And you're not sure, let us know how we can fix that. Let us know what we need to do so that we as a body of believers, and more, and just as importantly, me as your pastor, what do I need to do so that One Church is something that makes your life better, enhances your life, as we say? And if One Church has made your life better, let us know what we're doing well so we can double down on it and keep doing that so that more people are blessed by it. You are an ambassador, first for Christ, to let him know, to be reconciled to God, come into right relationship with God, because that is where the blessing is. That is the sweet spot. It doesn't mean that everything goes away, but it means that life gets better. Life is more fulfilling. But not only are you an ambassador for Christ as the head of the church, you're still an ambassador for the church. Get the word out. Let people know we're coming back and we've got big plans. We've got big things we want to do this fall, and we want to make a bigger impact on our community and our world than we ever have, because we know that God has called us to big things in this new season. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you don't waste a moment. God, when we go through these dry spells, it is not for a waste, God. It is our refining, it is our pruning, but it is our opportunity to go deeper with you, to dive into a new level of relationship with you. God, I pray that as your ambassadors, we represent you well in what we say and what we do and what we post. God, that the world would know that as soon as Jesus comes into our life and makes us new, God, you make life better. You might not take away the struggles, but God, you use the struggles to make us better. And so, God, I pray that our faith grows and our trust in you grows. I thank you, Lord, that you don't waste a moment. You can use all things to the good of those who are called to your glorious purposes. God, help us represent you well. Help us represent your church well. And in the coming weeks, help us get the word out that not only are we getting ready for on-site gathering, but you're going to do big things through this church as we all fully buy in to make it all happen. God, I pray that you stir an excitement in your people as we get ready. God, we love you. I thank you for everyone who's tuned in. Bless every heart. Challenge each and every one of us where we are to just go a little bit deeper. In your precious name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen.